Calling home today, a place we've never been to, Estonia, one of the Baltic states, part of Europe now, the sea on one side, Russia on the other. Here's a little bit of the national anthem. And on it goes. My fatherland, my joy, my happiness. There's nowhere better in the world, is roughly how that anthem goes. Jack Hall lives in Estonia. Margaret, his mum, alerted us to that fact. Thank you, Margaret. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon would like us to be more Estonian in outlook, so we'll see what's so special about the country. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Very well. Now, you're I understand, first of all, your mum's been up to visit you up there. What were her impressions of Estonia?
Yeah, I think she really liked it. She came over in the summertime and managed to show her around the place, took her out to the islands, did all the traditional Estonian things, and she had a blast, I think.
Good, good. Well, it sounds like she really liked coming to see you. You're doing a PhD. Are you doing it still in aquamarine biology?
That's how my mother described it, I think. I'm close to finishing now, so I'm just in the process of publishing the last couple of papers and then looking to wrap things up. But still also working here at the same time, so
right,
plenty to do.
Okay. And you lived for a while on the Falkland Islands, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What were you doing there? So,
I worked there for the government, for the fisheries department, so I was a scientific observer, so I'd go out to sea, collect all sorts of biological data on the fisheries catch, collect things called otoliths, which are the ear stones of fish, or statoliths, the little stones inside, tiny little stones inside squid.
What do we learn from the stones inside fish?
Quite a lot, actually. So one of the most basic things you can do is age fish, so you kind of file it down and you can count the rings, very similar to how you might age a tree.
Yeah.
But you can also do isotopic analysis, so you can look at things like strontium and other isotopes, and you can determine what the fish was eating on the trophic level, or you could look at how deep the fish was living, things like that. So it can actually tell you a lot about the life history of an individual.
Okay, so just some more questions to set the scene. Palmerston North Boys High. I think you grew up outside Palmerston North, didn't you, on a lifestyle block?
Yeah, just outside, between Palmerston and Fielding.
Right. And then Otago University. What, majoring in marine biology or similar?
I did my undergrad in aquaculture and fisheries science, and then my master's was done in marine biology, yeah.
Okay. And so what took you to Tallinn in Estonia, of all places?
It's a bit of a long story, really. We had a Estonian exchange student come join our lab for a period. And I guess at the time I didn't really take much notice, just, you know, all the pleasantries and nice to hang out and talk a little bit about Estonia. And then it was about a year or so later, she basically said, hey, we're looking for a PhD student. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, why not? I was finishing my master's at the time and was looking to, you know, go do something different. So why not Estonia?
Gee, it's who you know in this world, isn't it? Because you could easily have ended up somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does your job involve there? You said you work as well as studies, or work as well as finishing your doctorate. So what does your job involve?
Yeah, so I work at the Estonian Marine Institute. It's hugely varied. So one week we might be out scuba diving, collecting benthic samples, so looking at macroalgae. That's what I mostly work on. Also working on European Union projects. So we have a large project now looking at wind parks and multi-use space. So how do you incorporate aquaculture into these spaces, in the Baltic Sea, where we're located. You know, space isn't infinite, so people want to make the most of that sort of valuable coastline. And then all sorts, writing research papers, conducting experiments, you know, attending conferences, all that good science stuff.
So you get to travel across Europe as well.
Yeah, all across Europe. Just came back from the United States. I gave a talk in Florida at
Gee.
a scientific diving conference, which was very nice.
So you live in Tallinn, the capital, and you have an apartment?
I managed to save up a bit of money from when I was working in the Falklands and came over here and bought a nice little space for myself. So yeah.
I guess you wouldn't have much chance to spend money in the Falklands. Would that be right?
Yeah, there's the pub and the other pub and the other pub.
Now, you have a girlfriend called Carolyn, not to pry into your private life too much, but you've kind of settled down there a bit.
Hi, Carolyn, if you're listening. Starting to get fairly settled here, actually. Yeah, it's a really, really pleasant place to live, and Tallinn's a sort of vibrant little city on the coast. So yeah.
So you say Tallinn, okay. I came across an apartment for sale in the town,
Okay.
in the city, and an
Yeah.
old, this is on the market at the moment, and an old cannon tower, Jack, that was once part of the medieval city wall, built in the late 14th century, with a neo-Gothic facade, balcony overlooking the harbour and the old town, fully furnished, 5 km from the airport, looks fantastic inside, $500,000 New Zealand. That seems reasonable.
Wow, you might have to forward
Yeah,
the
no, it looked really nice actually.
Yeah, there's some really nice, especially in the old town there, you can get some interesting little apartments. The trouble with them though is that the restrictions on what you can do are, you know, a mile long, so you have to be very, if you're wanting to gut the place, you might have to think again.
Yes, the interior did look like you were walking into, you know, a room in Game of Thrones, but it looks splendid.
Exactly. Yeah.
What are the pluses? Just general question, the pluses of living there, aside from your job, which sounds very interesting, what do you like about living in Tallinn?
Harlan, yeah, it's got a, you know, a lot of history. It's got this beautiful medieval center. It's also really safe, clean air. And I think one of the best things is that you're sort of 20 minutes drive and you're out in the forest, or you can catch a short flight and you can be in any of the great European cities.
It's a difficult language to learn. Does that matter too much? A lot of English is spoken.
If you're under anyone under 50 speaks as good at English as you and I, probably better even than me. If they're older, they probably speak more Russian, but Estonian is its own language, so yeah, it's a challenging language, I have to admit. Fortunately for me, science is all in English, so actually I think they like having a native speaker around to edit all their reports and
Okay, I'll say okay.
stuff.
It's an advantage having you there.
Yeah,
So
a little bit.
that travel to Europe would be cheap as well.
Oh yeah. If you don't mind your dates and you don't mind your where you're going, I've had flights for 12 euros, you know, so
12
to
euros.
London or to Vienna or something, you know.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah,
12 euros. Although
you imagine.
there's been some trouble with the hacking into the GPS on the planes, hasn't there? I saw that Finland's carrier Finnair wasn't flying to one of your cities for a while.
I was reading the headlines. It doesn't seem to affect like day-to-day things. It seems to be more high altitude GPS, whatever that
We know someone in Tallinn. She was telling us about the sauna culture, about which I know not much. Can you explain what the sauna culture there is like?
So I guess it's pretty integral to their sort of lifestyle. You know, most apartments will have a sauna. It goes back to, I guess, medieval times when people didn't have showers. They would sauna to clean themselves, but it's just carried on, and now it's kind of like how you might go to the pub. You go to the sauna with your mates or with your family, and you might have a few beers. In winter, you can do the ice plunge, so into the sea, cut a hole in the ice, dive in, or you can jump in the snow. But in summer, you think it would be, horrible, but it's actually really refreshing. You go into the sauna and you come out, it might be a 30-degree day, but it feels really cool and relaxing, and yeah, it's really lovely.
I never thought of that. Never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Jack Hall's calling home from Estonia. So Tallinn is a very old town, spectacular looking one. That old town, in inverted commas, you mentioned in the middle of the city, that's just about the best looking one in Europe, isn't it?
I think it's often considered the best or one of the best. I think Gotland, so the Swedish island, also has a really good one. But yeah, the one in Tallinn is particularly well maintained and looked after, and it's also lived in these businesses. So you have a reason to sort of visit, even on it, not just as a tourist. They have these sort of like medieval festivities, and they have knights fighting and all that sort of stuff. But also in the winter, over Christmas, they have the Christmas markets there, and so there's always something going on.
A cafe that dates back to 1864. It's fantastic. And great,
Yeah.
Jack, great vintage shopping, I was reading. Great craft work. Lots to see and do in that old town.
Very much. There's lots of, you can find some very nice handcraft and souvenirs, not just your normal sort of fridge magnets and stuff, if that's what you're into.
Fridge magnets, that's right. So the outdoors are great for tramping and so on. You've got national parks. Have you managed to get out into them a bit, or has it mainly been on the water?
Certainly a lot on the water, but yeah, plenty on land as well. There's some really beautiful forests here. They also have a lot of, they call them bogs, but they have these sort of boardwalks that you can sort of walk through all these like ancient bogs and things like that. There's lots of castles and old monasteries. There's lots of things to explore outside of Tallinn, of course. And my favorite area is the archipelago. So there's thousands of islands, and they're all sort of unique in their own little way. They've got little sort of cute villages and yeah, castles and forest hikes and all that. I'm on one right now, so our field station's on Saaremaa, the largest island. So I'm
Ah.
calling you from there, actually. The very friendly locals. It's a bit of a different pace, as island life tends to be in, well, everywhere.
And there are golden sand beaches in Estonia, I was reading. I was meant to ask you earlier, how warm does the water get? Is it colder than the Tasman Sea?
Yeah, so in winter here it freezes over, so that always makes it a challenge to do marine science work.
Yeah.
And in summer it can get warm, but the trouble is, so it might be very warm on the surface, but if you're diving, you might hit the thermocline, and then it just suddenly drops to 4 degrees. We were out diving a couple of weeks ago, and it was 2 degrees Celsius, so
Oh, it's cold.
it
It's really
doesn't get much colder.
it doesn't get much colder.
Yeah.
No mountains in Estonia, Jack.
Yeah, dead flat.
Dead flat. And a bird watcher's paradise. I was seeing you've got six species of eagle alone. So there's tons to do. It's a very interesting destination, actually.
Yeah, I think as it's becoming more well known, as a sort of really great sort of place to visit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The bogs, you mentioned the bogs. The bogs are a big deal, actually. They're peat bogs, like in Ireland, aren't they?
Very similar. So they have the sort of a lot of peat, and then the water is quite alkaline. So it looks like tea, the water, but in summer it gets really warm. So it's kind of like swimming in a bath, but it's very clean at the same time. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. 24 hours of light in summer, ever?
Yep. So we have the Midsummer Festival. So that's kind of like, I guess, bit like New Year's. So you light the bonfire and you have your 24-hour light and you drink a few beers and have a good time.
I saw the phrase moose hunts. Do people go a lot on moose hunts?
People who hunt, definitely. I was part of a hunt. They hunt quite differently here, so they'll have a couple people with rifles, and then the rest of you, maybe 10, 20 people, you all sort of march through the forest and flush out the moose, supposed to say.
Like a gamekeeper on an English country estate, that kind of
Exactly,
thing.
yeah.
What's the local food like, Jack? Do you have a favorite dish?
The food's very similar to Finland and Sweden. It's sort of, Estonia has a bit of Germanic and Swedish history to it. So it's a lot of pork and sausage and sauerkraut and that sort of thing. Kahuke, which are these kind of like, I guess I'd describe them as little cheesecake bars. They're really nice.
Are you getting quite Estonian? You're not obviously intending to return here in the near future, anyway.
Yeah, I think I'll not in a rush to leave
No.
is, I guess, the best way to put
No,
it.
you're in a great place with a great job. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Christopher Luxon wants us to be more like you in Estonia. So, do you understand why? Did you hear about that?
I understand why. Yeah, it's I think for such a small country, Estonia has done incredibly well for itself, considering some of its history. The government's fully digitized, so everyone gets these sort of like ID cards with a chip in them, so you can sort of access every sort of government service with that really easily. Really well managed. Yeah, I think there's a lot of lessons that could be learned from Estonia that New Zealand could perhaps take on board.
With GDP per capita there, it's far less than New Zealand's, but you are better than us on all those international rankings of maths and science and reading and so on. So they do seem to be doing it well in Estonia.
So I think when Estonia regained its independence, they sort of realized that they were never going to compete on manufacturing and stuff like that. So what they really invested in was IT infrastructure. So they put in computers in every classroom. This was back in the sort of early 90s, and it seems to have really paid off for them, really focusing on education.
You're just across the water from Finland, the so-called happiest country on earth. So, interestingly, it's interesting because for those of us who don't know the history and its proximity to Russia and so on, is it Finland that people look to rather than the southern Baltic states or Russia, do you think?
Yeah, I think Finland is sort of held up very nicely, and Estonia is often described as sort of the sister nation to Finland. So
Right.
both Finnish and Estonian are very similar languages. Culturally, they're very, very similar. So there's a very close-knit relationship between Estonia and Finland. With the Latvians and Lithuanians, they're a little bit different, but also very, very friendly. And then Russia is Russia.
Russia is Russia. Actually, it's our friend. Also said that there are many Ukrainian refugees in Estonia right now, but also, although Russian media are blocked, apparently, also many Russians living near the border with Russia who believe everything the Kremlin tells them. Do you feel that kind of tension in the country, or is it rural mainly? I mean, how much, to what extent do you feel the war in Tallinn?
To be honest, don't really feel it. I think while Estonia takes it seriously, they're not scared or anything. Most Russians live in Narva, and from they're very friendly. I've never had any problems there. I think, no issues really for the Russian Estonians or Estonian Russians, however you want to call it.
It's funny, whenever I talk about the dark countries, the ones without much light in the winter, people always text it and say, how do they get their sunlight? Vitamin D and all that. What do Estonians do? Lots of vitamin D tablets.
I think the answer is probably vodka or beer and sauna. That's the answer.
Right. I don't think vodka is a great source of vitamin D. You've
Maybe
got
not.
bears in those forests, though, haven't you? Bears.
Bears, wolves,
Whoa.
Badgers, foxes, all that cool stuff. Yeah.
Do people ever get chased by wolves and bears?
I think they're pretty timid of people. I've seen wolves. We actually thought the dogs had got, we were out hiking near my girlfriend's house, and we thought the dogs had got loose because we saw some wolves run across the forest track ahead, and then we had to rush home and they were still on the porch.
All right, so you knew they weren't your dogs.
Yeah.
What a fascinating place to end up in. So I guess you feel lucky in many respects. You've landed on your feet, well, deservedly so, but in a really nice place.
Yeah, I feel incredibly fortunate.
It's been great to chat with you, Jack, and very informative. So all the best. We won't see you back in New Zealand for a while, permanently, I imagine, but all the best for your time up there and all the adventures to come.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good one.